You're listening to the See the Upside podcast, where we talk about overcoming obstacles, choosing positivity, and doing life a little better every day. I'm your podcast host, Nina Bleicher. On the show, we share real stories and speak with industry experts about how to expand and grow through difficult change. We don't always get to choose the challenges that show up in our life, but we do get to decide how we view them. In those hard moments, there are always beautiful invitations. That's what See the Upside podcast is all about. Navigating the hard moments, but then finding the opportunity to heal, grow, and connect. I'm so grateful you're here and can't wait to share these conversations with you. I hope you enjoy the show. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the See the Upside podcast. Or if this is your first time, welcome. We're so happy to have you here. Today on the show, we have Tracy Hill. And Tracy's a coach who helps people healing physically through energetic methods. And when I first talked to Tracy, I was super fascinated by her story. And it's really interesting to hear how she goes about doing this, some of the obstacles she had to overcome, and really the path of how she came into this modality in her life. So thank you for joining us, Tracy. I'm so excited to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Nina. It's great to talk to you again.
Yes. Well, I always love to start with having you share with us a little bit about you, your journey, and kind of how you ended up going this direction in life, because I think your story in particular is super powerful and just kind of speaks to your why of what you're doing.
Sure. So I know I didn't give you too much on my story, but enough as a teaser. So after I graduated high school, I started college, but then I joined the military pretty quickly. I joined the Army Reserves. So I went off to boot camp and did all that fun stuff and came back and continued school. And I was going to University of Illinois, Chicago, was getting my master's degree. And while I was getting my master's degree in kinesiology, I was also running a human performance lab. And that's where we would take athletes and make them better athletes. And I was also teaching undergrad classes, and I was training for a marathon, and I was working out about 8 hours a day. And I wish that was an exaggeration, but it's not. And so one day while in the lab, I fell and I was like, I tripped on something. I'm like, what the heck was that? And realized there was nothing on the ground. And the next day, the whole left side of my body went numb. And I'm like, okay, that's not right. Fast forward three doctors later, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And I didn't even know what it was. I was like, well, I know what multiple means. And I'm assuming sclerosis means some kind of scarring. I just don't know what else that means. One of the doctors I saw, he told me that if I didn't take medication, I would be in a wheelchair the rest of my life. And number one, that's not good bedside manner. But really, I didn't accept that answer. Because every doctor I saw was like, well, we don't know what causes it and we don't have a cure. And I was like, well, then how can you tell me what's going to happen?
So how old were you when that happened? You were pretty young, right?
I was 25. Oh, I was just finishing up.
Super young. Wow.
Yeah.
That must have been devastating to hear.
You know, I remember calling my parents on the phone because I was living by school. So I wasn't living at home. And they were like, my mom was really upset. My dad's like, well, you know, we'll figure stuff out. And I was like, I remember feeling this weird pang of optimism, but also this fear. So it was kind of the strange, because I really didn't understand it, you know, just a little bit I read on Google or something. And so, but I'm also super stubborn. And I think in this case, it really helped me because I was like, no, I don't accept an answer that I'll be in a wheelchair forever. If you ask my mom, I mean, I'm like, I'm stubborn. And I mean, I've worked on that a lot, but I'm super stubborn. And I just didn't accept it as an answer. So I started medication. It was a one shot daily. But after a year of feeling like I had the flu every day and painful injection sites and having to keep this medication cold, and oh, it was a nightmare. I'm like, this isn't helping me. So I took myself off of it. And from that point, I decided that I am going to figure out what causes this and how to fix it. Because if the doctors don't know, that doesn't mean that that's the end all be all. I think, like, you know, back in whatever year it was, they told pregnant women to take cocaine to prevent them from gaining weight. And they told people smoking was healthy. So
what?
Science is constantly
they
evolving.
Told pregnant women to take cocaine.
They would tell them to like smoke and do kinds of stuff, all kinds of stuff, so they wouldn't gain weight. It's just, you know, and there's cocaine and coke, you know, like, all right, we can get past this stuff now. Like, science is still catching up. We don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
You know, they used to break people's brains open when they thought, or their skulls open when they thought they had a psychotic breakdown, you know. I mean, all right, so they don't know what it is. I might not figure it out, but I can at least help myself. I'm not going to be in a wheelchair. I refuse to believe that. So in the meantime, took myself off this medication and I did a deep, 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 deep dive. I mean, you know, once you go in that rabbit hole, you really can't get your way out. And between being in the military, I was deployed overseas and got 9 shots in, you know, 20 seconds, the overseas shots. I also had mono when I was 13. I had chickenpox twice, and I was bit by a tick that buried itself in my neck for a few days. So in all the research I did, it's like, well, is it a parasite? Is it, you know, the virus? Is it some kind of virus? Is it something in a vaccine? Is it? And so, you know, they did testing, but the testing isn't quite, it back then at least, wasn't quite up to date. So I started with nutrition. So I was already very, very well versed in exercise, and I was pretty well versed in nutrition. And I started the journey with nutrition. And in the meantime, I was feeling better. Like, the symptoms weren't super prominent. I went through the Chicago Fire Academy and I became a firefighter back in 2001 and went through all that. But then the department found out and they told me that I would have to go on Disability Act. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. So it was even more impetus for me to figure out, okay, I got to heal myself. So I kept adjusting my diet and doing all these things that I thought were going to help me. And they certainly helped. Then got married and had kids. And I went through pre-divorce. I went through a series of not a good time when my now ex threw me in jail, and I was in jail for 24 hours. All charges were cleared because he lied about what happened. But in that meantime, my kids watched me get arrested. I know they were scared. I lost my house. I lost actually everything. And I couldn't even see my kids for a week. So I was married to a narcissistic man. Sitting in my jail cell, waiting to see the judge. I'm cold. I'm hungry. I've been crying for hours and hours straight. I remember sitting there. It's finally just like all the tears have been shed. All the thoughts in my head have just been all jumbled up and I had nothing left to give. And I thought, I can either leave here the victim and roll over and feel like woe is me, or I can come out on the other side of this, rise above, and decide that nobody will tell me how to feel. Nobody will tell me my outcome. I'm going to decide, you know, I can be the power in my choices. And that was the moment. Like I said, I'm stubborn. So I decided, no, I am going to decide how I'm going to feel. Because sitting in the jail cell, waiting to see the judge, I'm like, right now, in this exact moment, just sitting here, nothing's wrong. I'm just sitting here. I'm okay. Like, I'm not dying. There's nothing wrong right now. And so I realized at that moment, I could choose that at any time. And I'm not going to let my ex, a doctor, I'm not going to let anybody tell me how to feel or decide that this is going to be your outcome because you're like everybody else. And it was a really pivotal moment deciding that because it really shaped the rest of my journey. And then after divorce, and I really started to work on meditating, which is still very hard for me, but meditating and sitting quietly and learning to listen to my own intuition. I've always been very intuitive. I'm an empath, but there was it was before podcasts were podcasts. I'm dating myself, but before there was even a thing called a podcast, I was listening to something and they were talking about like body code and tapping into, you know, doing muscle testing on yourself. And so I didn't know, but I was able to do it right away and it was super easy. And it turns out it's just like a very intuitive gift I have. I mean, everybody can do it, but for me, it comes super easy. And so I started to tap into my intuition that way using muscle testing, or I use the sway test. And I started releasing trapped emotions from my heart wall. And I can get into what that is. But as I started to release, and this takes a little time, but I began releasing and noticing shifting in my thinking and my habits and how I viewed the world. And I was becoming more heart-centered. And I was starting to see that my whole life up to that point was very, very masculine. So that's why I mentioned the military and the fire department. And I was working with athletes. Like, everything is very left-brained, masculine energy. And I realized I've been suppressing my feminine side. I would never let myself cry. I would, you know, rub some dirt on it if you fall and, you know, pull your bootstraps up and, you know, just all the very masculine things you hear your dad say, which worked for a certain amount of time until it didn't anymore. And so what I started to understand and unravel was that my emotions were creating my disease. And as I was releasing them, I was actually healing my body. I'm like, I can't tell anyone about this because they're going to think I'm crazy. So as I kept doing it, I'm like healing more and more. I haven't been on medication in 18 years, maybe more. And I don't take any kind of medicine. I use energy to heal myself. And now that's what I use on my clients.
Oh my gosh. I have literally like 15 questions at least. There's so many things that I want to ask. So first, I just want to comment about your kind of awakening that you had. I think we are so trained in our society to hand over our health and wellness to others for them to tell us what's wrong and what's going on. And I think, you know, as not only as women, but as humans on the planet, but I think women in particular, it's time to step into our empowerment of owning our own bodies, what we're feeling, what's going on, and our own healing. That's the only way we can really understand and get to the best version of ourselves. Mind, body, spirit, heart, all of it, right, is by coming back to ourselves and connecting with ourselves. I think we are so disconnected. And I love that you came back to that. I hate that it was a rock bottom moment. But of course, as we know, that's often the package it comes in. You know, we'll keep going and living kind of, you know, at a 20% depth level, because that's all we know. And that's what we're raised in. And that's what we were taught. We don't know any different. So I love that that is kind of the starting point, would you say, right? To just step into ownership and start paying attention.
Definitely. I mean, I call it radical honesty, being radically honest with yourself. And I can get into some of this later, but, you know, I had this fear of abandonment that I didn't know was there. And I had to be honest with myself and say, okay, yeah, that, or actually fear of success was a big one. Like, who's afraid of fear? Who has a fear of success? That's ridiculous. But being honest with myself, I did, and I had to overcome that. So yeah, just, you know, without judgment, it doesn't have to be a judgment attached. It's just being honest with where you're at and what you can grow from. And honestly, my divorce was, sadly, I'm grateful for it in a strange way. I'm very grateful for having that experience because.
Yeah, I get that.
Because, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at
I
today.
I feel you. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, and I think you see things so differently when you come out of divorce and, you know, tapping into that topic of masculine energy, I think that's a direct result. It's a survival tactic after divorce. We have no choice but to step fully and over-exaggeratedly into our masculine energy because we have to survive after devastating divorces. I did the same thing, and I'm still trying to step into that allowing of, like, you're safe now, you're okay now, you can feel more, you can connect more, you can open your heart. It takes a long, long, long time to heal that traumatic subconscious path that's been burned into our brain after that experience.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I tell the story like, you know, like it's a blip of time, but that's, you know, we're talking almost 20 years of this journey that I've been on so far.
Yeah. So let's dive in a little bit into some of the logistics of how you healed. So you had your rock bottom moment and you were going through your divorce, but tell me a little bit about the body code. And you were talking about feeling and releasing your emotions and becoming heart-centered. I know somewhat about that, but some people listening might not have any idea what we're talking about. And how do you go about doing that? Like, you can explain that and say, you need to be more heart-centered, but how do you actually do it when you're trying to heal yourself? How do you find the emotions? How do you let yourself feel them? How do you release them? Like, what is the process that you use?
Okay. So how I started is a little bit different than how I do it now. And as an individual, I'm going to suggest a way, but how I do it with my clients is a little bit different because they have guidance. So we all have a heart chakra. And there's a couple layers to this, but I'll explain the main layer here. As we are born and we go through incidences in our life. So between the ages of 5 and 7, we have the most, we're like sponges. And so anything that happens that isn't processed properly stays with us like baggage. But that baggage is technically a layer around your heart chakra to protect you. So for example, let's say you're shopping with your mom in the mall and, you know, for a blip of a second, your mom loses sight of you and she's calling out your name and then you can't hear her. And there's just like a 5 minute, like you feel like your mom's never coming back or something. You know, it's like this thing that happens a lot, I think, to kids. Just for 5 minutes, mom can't find you, you're scared. And then you think your mom's never coming back for you, but turns out you were just, you know, she couldn't find you. While as an adult, this scenario is like, okay, no big deal. I was a kid, but that memory from that cellular memory from that age is still with you because it never got processed out. Well, maybe it did, but most likely it didn't. And so what that does is to protect you, your memory creates an emotion. And that emotion, if it's not of love or light, or a higher vibration emotion, it will create a wall around your heart, your etheric heart, your heart chakra to protect you. That layer is like your ego. So to protect yourself from never feeling abandoned again, you will do things to make sure that you're never abandoned again. So, and your ego will project that out. So it might be, you know, impatience or getting angry or fear or whatever it is. And that's how you're living your life. Now, imagine building up all of these walls around your heart chakra. Your heart gets buried under all these walls. So you are actually a false version of yourself. You're living out somebody else's life and not your true purpose or passion. So when I get clients, They're typically around 800,000 to a million trapped emotions around the heart wall. And every layer that comes off doesn't necessarily, we don't need to know necessarily where they're from. Sometimes we do. And they can't, there's no order. It's like whatever is on the top ready to come off will come off first. That's completely up to the client. And what I do is I just ask for permission to tap into intuition. And we go through a series of questions, find out which one needs to be released, and then we release it. So tapping into intuition, or if you're curious about how to do this yourself, I do, as I said, what's called the sway test. Some people do the arm test. Some people do the finger test, but I find it easiest to do the sway test. And to do that, you just would stand up comfortably and a slight, very slight bend in your knees. And just kind of take a deep breath and center yourself. And as you stand there, preferably like barefoot or in socks, you would state your name. So you want to, what you're trying to find is a true statement or a not true statement. Okay, so it's not true false, it's true not true. There's a slight difference, and that doesn't matter so much. But if you move forward, if your body sways forward, which it should, after you state your name, that is a true statement. And now you have just tested the muscle testing. And then you can state something not true about yourself, like say my name is, and give a false name. And you should move backwards. So now you can start to move into harder and harder questions. And this is all coming from subconscious. So it can be a question of, should I, you know, it's in my best interest to take this vitamin today. As you hold the vitamin, and if you sway forward, then you should take that vitamin today. If you go backwards, then you should not. And so this can be done with absolutely any question. Sometimes you have to ask it multiple ways. But for me, it's the easiest way to get down into subconscious items that maybe my client or myself aren't able to pull up into the conscious just yet. And so all of these layers start to get exposed. And as we expose and release them, our heart begins to, I don't even want to say grow larger, but maybe grow larger, but also be revealed more, because these layers aren't around them. And you get to become more of who you really are, which is heart-centered. Because really, when you look at, if you pan out in life, you take that 80,000 foot view, we all just want to be loved, and we all have love to give. But when we are operating under ego, both of, you know, both receiving and giving love becomes difficult, because we don't want to be hurt. We don't want to hurt someone. We have all these what ifs. Mm. So removing these layers really helps you become your true heart-centered self.
So how do you get into the removing of the layers element of it? Like, we went from talking about intuition. I understand that. I love that test. I've never used it that way. I'm totally going to try that. But when you're working with a client, how do you get into those emotions? You're just asking questions. Like, how do you know?
Which ones?
Yeah. Like, what, where do you, yeah, how do, what does that look like, I guess?
So it's like a flow chart. There's rows and columns. And mm-hmm. I'll say, is it row A or B? The funny thing is, I've been doing this so long that I kind of automatically know which box to go to. Each box has five emotions in it. Mm-hmm. And I'll just go down the row. And when I get a yes, that's the emotion. So I don't, it's nothing I memorize, because I have a flow chart. And then once I find that emotion, I have a magnet that I use, and I swipe it over myself, because I do everything virtually for the most part. Mm-hmm. I will swipe it over myself as saying, I'm removing this emotion. So I'm, you know, with this magnet, I'm removing fear from Nina's heart wall. And I'll do that three times. And then I double check to make sure it was removed. And it's very, very rare that I get a no. So then I know it's removed, and we go on to the next one. And that, so let's say I remove anxiety from you. Doesn't mean there's not more anxiety. It's anxiety from a very specific day and time, a very specific incident. So you can have 1,000 different anxiety layers sitting around your heart wall. We can only remove one incident at a time. Well, that's at least how I work. So that's why there's so many layers. I mean, it's not that there's 800,000 emotions. there's just multiple layers of the same emotion over and over again in different areas. So if you imagine an artichoke, and at the center of the artichoke is the heart, right? And each layer, each leaf has to come off before the ones underneath come off. So we're just removing all the top layers. And as we get deeper and deeper into the artichoke, we get to the heart. And so that's essentially what we're doing.
So are you talking through the incident when you're doing that, or do you not go into that detail? Does it not matter?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Only sometimes. Mm. So I will ask other questions, like I'll narrow down an age and, you know, if it has to do with school or family or money or love, we can find, sometimes I have to know. So I won't be able to release until what's happening is I'm speaking out loud. Mm-hmm. And the client is hearing this. And oftentimes they just need to consciously hear what I'm saying so that their conscious and subconscious can kind of link up and say, yep, that's the emotion from this time frame. Let's get it out. Other times we don't need to know anything at all, which is great. But the other thing that comes up are the ancestral emotions, which are the more damaging ones. They're the ones that are harder to get out. And they're the ones that create patterns that you don't even understand why you have the patterns.
Yes.
Or, you know, like I have heart disease in my family, and it's not heart disease that's in your family. It's usually lack of love or love emotion. Or, you know, I have cancer in my family. It's not cancer. It's worry or whatever the emotion is in your family that keeps getting handed down. And so the beautiful thing is once this emotion is released, again, the specific incident emotion, it's stopped both forward and backwards. So you can't hand it off if you don't have kids yet. You can't hand it off to your kids, and you can't, it clears the line going backwards.
So interesting that you kind of think about this, that most people probably have zero awareness that they've got all these layers built up around their heart. You know, but you can sense it. It's so interesting. You can be in a relationship with someone and sense like a wall almost and want to be able to peel back the layers, but nobody can do that for someone else, right? Unless, you know, in the case of like working with a client who's proactively wanting to release it, right? But you can't be in a relationship and like try to hack away at someone, right?
Right. Because they have to want to do it. So that's why I always verify, like, can I tap into your intuition? I will once in a while get a no. And I actually had someone, they said they really wanted to release. And I don't do it unless I have permission, because I don't think that's right. That's just my own integrity. I tried again. It was still a no. I'm like, I'm sorry. You're not allowing me in. I think, I don't know if it was fear or whatever it was, but it's only happened once. But I always check, because not everyone really wants to. They say they do, but they, you know, it's scary. Change is scary for people. And so if you're coming to me because you want emotions released, that means you want to change. And the beautiful thing is, like I say, there's 800,000 to a million typically starting off. But if you do work, you know, like let's say I release 10 emotions from you and I have no control over that. This is all, you know, the person coming to me. Let's say I release 10 and you go about your day for the next week or two before you come see me again, and you get another 6 built up and you do no other work. Well, now we got to almost like start over again. But if I release 10 and you're doing all this other work, you're journaling, you're meditating, you're going out in nature, you're working on yourself, you actually will pull off more because your body's like, you know what? She wants to do this, or he wants to do this. Let's do this more. And it doesn't take as long as it sounds like, because you're doing the work. Aside from what I'm doing, I'm just assisting and getting some stuff off. And your work is more impactful then, because your subconscious is now primed to release the stuff that is no longer needed.
So would you say that you feel the emotion to release it? Because I've always felt that that's important when you have trapped emotions in your body due to experiences that we've gone through that we haven't acknowledged and felt. Like if you have a parent that dies and you don't allow yourself to grieve, or if you go through a divorce and you don't allow yourself to process that, that it kind of stays trapped in your body until you allow yourself to feel it. How would you explain that? Like, what does that look like?
So for me as the coach, or for anybody?
Anybody.
Okay. So specific emotions do get trapped in body parts. When they are in excess, they will basically coagulate in a specific organ. So for example, anger resides in the liver and the gallbladder. So excess anger loves to feed on the liver, and the liver and gallbladder are responsible for removing waste, toxins, and also if you experience digestive issues, cycles of constipation, diarrhea, those are symptoms of excess anger. But anger is a really big umbrella category for things like impatience, frustration, passive aggressiveness, and to include rage. And there's others, you know, there's different, obviously, gray areas of anger. But all of those, if you experience those, and I'm saying that I used to be super impatient, so that was something I had to work on. You will experience those things. But the beautiful thing is when you release these emotions, when you help yourself process them, you actually also help the physical part of you, which would be the liver and gallbladder. So some of that will begin to clear up as you allow this to process out of your body.
So tell us a little bit about the healing with your MS. How do you feel that this was all manifesting in your case, in your situation, the, you know, health issues that you had, that they were emotionally caused, right?
Right. So, you know, every ailment has like a phrase or a saying. Like, so for MS, it has to do with the nerves and the myelin sheath around the nerves. Getting diagnosed with MS, everybody who has been diagnosed has been under some kind of really heavy stress at some point. And for me, that's when I realized like stress is a huge cause of disease, but there's an underlying layer to stress, which is the emotion and the inability to process emotion. So for me, I was diagnosed because I was frayed at my nerves. I was overstimulated. I was overdoing things. I was at my wit's end, basically, like, right? My nerves were frayed because I was overstressed. And so hence I got MS. And so all of the sayings, like, I feel like I'm carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. Well, that's a stress response to being overburdened. And hence you're going to have like shoulder neck issues because you feel like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. So all of the sayings are really truthful sayings. I don't know where they've come from, but they had to come from wise ones way back.
Yes. Our ancestors.
Oh, yes. So when I realized that, oh my God, it's stress, and I was definitely way overdoing everything, and to find, you know, the emotion of, you know, why couldn't I process stress and being overwhelmed? And why did I feel like I had to do so much? Because I was trying to prove myself, trying to prove my self-worth, which comes from a fear of not being seen. And, you know, I just kept opening up layers and like, oh, well, where does that come from? And then, oh, where does that come from? So I just kept unpacking and unpacking. I was like, oh my gosh, how many more layers do I have here? It just keeps going. But once you start and you see a change or shift, it becomes, I don't want to say exciting, but it, you know, becomes intriguing to see like, well, where is this going to go next?
Well, I think once you start on a journey, you keep moving forward. You're not going back. You know, once you're on a personal growth, health and wellness and commitment to do your life better every day and show up as the best version of you, you're constantly seeking and you're willing to do the work even when it's hard.
Yeah, I think it's hard to go backwards once you know, it's like going down the rabbit hole, right? Knowing you can't unlearn what you've learned.
Yeah. What's your take on once you get to a place of healing commitment and kind of that discovery of unpacking your own layers, how does that affect your relations to other people around you? What's your advice around that? Because I think that can be really tricky.
It can be very tricky. So I had to go through this by myself, and it took way longer than it should have. You know, a lot of what we're talking about is shadow work. So shadow work is like really the uncomfortable realization of who you actually are versus who you let people see who you are. As you unpack and you open up your heart wall, there is what's called a scale of consciousness. It was developed by Dr. David Hawkins. And the scale, everyone has basically a number on the scale that you're at. It doesn't mean it can't move, because mine is definitely moved. But the higher you are on the scale, the higher vibration you are. And so that, you know, you have a physical body and you have a subtle body. The subtle body is what is picking up the environment around you, but it's also emitting your vibration out to the world. And so what you put out is what you get back. That's essentially what I'm saying here. But it's actually more of a scientific, there's a more of a scientific explanation, because it's actually energy that's going out and coming back. It's like, if you think of a radio wave, you turn on your radio and you pick up a specific station, that's a frequency. And you're only picking up that frequency. You're not picking up the other stations typically, or you get fuzz, right? So all you have to do is change your dial and go to a higher frequency, or turn it down and go to a lower frequency. It's not something you can see, but it's something you get a result from it. So the scale of consciousness, the higher you go up the scale, the higher your vibration becomes, the more of that you will receive. So for me, I lost all my friends in the very beginning of all this, like pretty right away. And I didn't have friends for a while, because I didn't even know who I was. I was still revealing who I was. And I had to, you know, my ego was falling away and I was just really confused. And again, my friends just didn't resonate with me anymore. So, you know, if you've ever gone into a room or a place where there's just all of a sudden this funky energy you just didn't like, that is your subtle body picking up a frequency much lower than yours. And it's a signal to not go near that energy. And when you go into a room and you see someone like they have this really great energy about them and you want to be by them, you're picking up their subtle energy of a higher vibration. And so that's all this is as you evolve up the scale, you will start to pick up new people, situations, places that resonate with your vibration. So as you go higher and higher, so does your reality. So it's a direct effect. Your reality is a direct effect of your energy, of your current energy. So if you're not enjoying where you're at this moment, or if you feel like I have bad luck, which, by the way, there's no such thing as luck, it's a direct result of your current energy, which is a result of your current emotional state.
I do think it can be hard, though, when there's someone that you care about, either a friend or whatever, and you realize that things have changed, that you don't relate to them in the same way, like you were talking about with your friends after your divorce. It can be sad, you know, you have to grieve it a little bit, but trust that this is where you're supposed to be, and that, you know, the universe puts you in connection with the people that resonate at the same frequency without judgment. I'm not saying that anybody's better than anybody else, but you know, you just have to trust that the connection is natural and will stay strong if it's meant to be.
100%. Yes. It's about, like you said, there's no judgment. It's about allowing yourself to explore the possibilities of what you really want. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, as they say, the definition of insanity is expecting change without doing anything to change. So if you want to continue the relationships you have that are toxic, but you have a hard time letting them go, and you're still working on yourself, there's going to come a crossroads where you need to actually decide, do you want to lower your vibration for this person? And again, it's not a judgment. It's just that they're not ready yet. Or do you want to continue to grow and let them match your vibration rather than you coming down to their vibration? And so maybe just by staying in your higher state of being, you can encourage them to come up. And if they don't, then that relationship has run its course. And it's not easy. I mean, there's no, it's never easy to end. Even I have clients who have had to disassociate with their family members, like mothers, because their mothers have been toxic, and but it's been difficult because, you know, there's a bond there. It doesn't matter what kind of toxicity it is. It's still a mom-daughter relationship. And that's really hard. But they realize after a few weeks that, you know what, not talking to my mom for a while has been, my stress level has gone down, my symptoms have gone away, that, you know, all this stuff has shifted. And so they have to continue to honor what they need versus what the other person needs, because the other person's not helping themselves. So they have to do what's best for them.
I think also sometimes the universe energetically takes care of it on its own. Even if you hang on to a low vibe person, sometimes it creates situations where you drift apart, or that person doesn't want to be around you as much, or, you know, because they don't, you make them uncomfortable or something. I think it happens organically sometimes.
I think most of the times it does, yes. Yeah. But in the beginning, it can sometimes feel like you're making that choice and they're going to hate you for it.
Yeah.
But you just have to trust that you're doing what's best for you, and it will all work out. Everything always works out perfectly. Everything's always perfect just as it is, you know, but sometimes it's hard to see that the forest through the trees, because we want instant gratification, but that's not how it works. We have to learn our lessons first.
Well, and to give an example, like, you might have a friend who you used to spend a lot of time drinking wine with and gossiping. And then as you're up leveling and changing and deciding, that's not really who you want to be. You're noticing, I don't feel good when I say things about people that don't feel good. I'm not going to do that anymore. And then you start kind of sensing, I'm not excited to see that person because it doesn't feel good anymore. And then you spend time with them and they're not as connected to you because you're not giving them that positive reinforcement for their kind of negative things that they're saying anymore. So I think energetically, just to give a tangible example of how that might happen, that can happen that way, you know?
Yeah, that's a great example. The drinking thing is, I mean, that's what I experienced. I used to drink, you know, very social drinker. As I started to evolve, drinking just really did not resonate with me. As a reason they call it spirits, because your spirit can be kind of stolen from you for a bit. But everybody other than my boyfriend, I know, drinks. And so socially, it took me a long time to know how to navigate a social function being the only one not drinking. It was awkward. And so, you know, you're going to have these periods, like you said. You know, I know a lot of people who love gossiping, and I think I fell into that trap so much. Like, oh, you know, like, oh, I know a piece of information, let me share it with you. Mm-hmm. But it didn't feel good when I was sharing it. And, you know, these things will change how you feel when you become conscious and aware of yourself doing it and what it feels like when you do it. You know, there's a big difference.
Yes.
You could think of it eating food between eating like a really healthy meal versus eating like a fried donut or whatever. Energetically, you feel totally different if you allow yourself to feel it. But a lot of times we go through life just ignoring it and like doing other things again to ignore how we feel, which is where addictions and all the other habits come in that we don't want. We shove them down with news and movies and music and alcohol and sports and all these other things that really don't matter in life, because what really matters is love, joy, peace. And we forget that it's so much easier than what we make it out to be. We don't need the money is, you know, it's an energy exchange, but we focus on it so much that we lose sight of love, peace, and joy, because we're in this rat race of trying to get ahead and have more and be more and do more. But really, it's all right there inside of you waiting for you to acknowledge that you already are all of that. You don't need to go seek it elsewhere. It's deep inside of you.
I think that's it right there, is that we already have love, peace, and joy within. And rather than going out and looking for it or trying to create it, it's more about what do you need to let go of and release to release it from within. It's kind of the opposite of what we've been taught. And that's why it's so elusive and hard to get to, is we're kind of focusing on the wrong thing, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
It's so much simpler than we're making it out to be. My gosh, it's all right it here.
It's just, you know, we have to rewrite our script and really question our beliefs, because like you said, it's so much easier. It's really not complicated. It's just not easy, because society doesn't condone you sitting silently, and, you know, the eating healthy is, it's still difficult. You know, things feel difficult because it's the simple things don't make money, but really it's so simple. Just seek peace and love from within, and you'll put it out there and it will come back to you. And it's really just, it's simple living. There's really not much you have to do. It's just be honest with yourself. Don't judge yourself. Go within and find what you need in the moment to enjoy your own company. And then having relationships with other people will be so easy, because you'll be in love with yourself, and then other people will want to love you too. So it's really, really simple.
Beautiful and true. So what are maybe some simple ways or guidance that you could offer to someone where they could find a little bit more of that, like maybe just some little steps someone could take to unpeel some of those layers and release some more of that peace, love, and joy that we're talking about?
Sure. So I always like to give easy and free things, things that are achievable. And when I say these things and people don't do them because they're so simple, but if you do them every day, they add up so big over time that you won't even realize how far you've come, because you've just done something for 1 to 5 minutes a day that's free and easy. One thing is just sitting, doing nothing, just sit. You don't have to meditate, but no TV, no phone, no computer, no book, just sit and stare at the sky for like 1 to 5 minutes. Sun gazing is fantastic, although it's been in Chicago, it's been pretty difficult. In the morning, you have about a 40-minute window in which you stare directly into the sun. That's not going to hurt your eyes. It's actually fantastic for your parasympathetic, sympathetic nervous system, for melatonin, serotonin production. It is so fantastic. It's free and it's simple. You just stare at the sun. Walking barefoot in nature or in the grass, sand, dirt, doesn't matter. Incredible connection for the earth to help ground you, to help. It literally, the research has shown, it is so fast of a connection, they can't even measure it yet. The connection is instantaneous, that they have no direct measurement of it because it's so fast. So you don't even need a lot of time barefoot in the grass or just laying in the grass. Beautiful for helping you relieve stress. Walking in nature, hugging a tree, all of those are totally free. Drink very clean water. What that means to you is up to you, but you know, source out some very clean water. Hydration, again, another very simple, and you're going to drink water anyway, so do that. If you want to go a little bit deeper, my suggestion is take a look at your cycles, at the habits that you want to break, and ask yourself why you're doing these habits. What is it that is creating the habit? One example I like to use is people who, whether you're married, family, or alone, After dinner, a lot of people like to sit down in front of the TV and have a snack. This becomes a habit over time that probably isn't the healthiest habit. And so I would say you don't have to do it at the time that you're doing it. No judgment, but write down, you know, what are the reasons I'm doing this? What am I looking for? What feelings am I feeling? Am I lonely? Am I sad? Am I looking for community or social or some type of communication with somebody? What are the emotions around this? And again, this is any habit that you're looking to break, whether it's smoking or excessive shopping or even excessive social media scrolling. What am I looking for in this moment? It could be as simple as a nap because you're overstressed or overwhelmed. And, you know, it could be that you are lonely. And so why am I lonely? What do I need? Because just bringing awareness into your habit will help you, help the subconscious come up to the surface to say, hey, this is what I need. It'll start to help you pick out the things that you actually need versus what you're substituting for it. Because, you know, again, that subconscious needs to come to the surface and say, hey, we've been over here waiting for you. So come, we're out to play now. So just, well, you know, just being more aware and conscious.
Yeah. I think so often we're on autopilot. We don't think about why we're doing something or what we're looking for. We just do it. We don't, you know, think that much about it. Like you, the example, watching TV or having dessert after dinner. Do you even want that? Is that something that you just have done every night and that's what you do?
Exactly. I mean, that's how I was raised, actually. It took me a while to undo that one. And now it's like, if we have dessert after dinner, my kids are like, oh, we have dessert today?
Because we really have it. Yeah, fun. Know? Yeah, makes it more interesting.
It's just not something I know I think about, you know, but growing up, that was the thing. Like, Chips Ahoy cookies or Oreos or whatever, because we had dessert every night after dinner. So that was a habit. And I didn't even think anything was wrong with it until I was, you know, in my 20s. Like, that might not be the best thing. going out to smoke a cigarette or, you know, getting in the habit of not exercising, that becomes a very hard cycle to break. So yeah, we go on autopilot typically after some type of emotional event. And, you know, they're, like you said, they can be hard to break, but I mean, there's some easy tactics to get you out of that autopilot mind. And that is, if you are right-handed, brush your teeth with your left hand or brush your teeth with your non-dominant hand, you know, try saying a nonsense word in the middle of talking. So like I can be talking and say pineapple, and then I continue talking, like just... There's just, you have to snap yourself out of the doldrum
repetition. Yeah.
Because you're just stuck in a loop, and the loops are what will keep you stuck.
Oh my gosh. Great advice. I love the tangibles in that. It's wonderful. Those are some good things to try. So a few more questions that I like to ask all the guests that come on the show. What books are you reading these days?
Well, I'm in school to get my doctorate in integrative medicine. So I will be a doctor soon. That. So my books are, let's see, I'm reading the Tao of Physics and also a giant $100 book on integrative medicine right now. But I also just picked up Metaphysical Anatomy Techniques. If your audience knows of Metaphysical Anatomy, it's my Bible because it tells you all the emotions behind every disease. I'm listening to Dr. Joe Dispenza, one of his later books, Ascending Your Energy, Tuning Into Your Destiny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I haven't listened to any Joe Dispenza. I'm a big audio book person, but I would love to, you know, listen to one of his. So I'll give that one a try.
Yeah, because it has the meditations in there, which is great. So I can just like pause it. And then like when that. I can meditate, then you go into his actual meditations, which is wonderful. So I think, yeah, there's other books I'm reading at the moment, but
yeah, you've got a lot yeah. going on. What about music? What's playing on your iTunes or Spotify shuffle list these days?
No one's ever asked me that. I do cacao ceremonies. I love my cacao ceremony list. I actually listen to it a lot, or I listen to binaural beats typically.
Let's talk about what that is, what that's for. That's for relaxation, right? To calm your brain. Explain that, please, if you can.
So the binaural beats, you have to listen with headphones for the most effective result. But in one ear goes one frequency, in the other ear goes the other frequency. So it will bring you into more of a, the waking state is beta, and then alpha, and then theta is where you're about in the dream state, and then the delta. So the binaural beats will bring you into more of a theta state. So it'll be music with the background of the binaural beats. And I use it sometimes for working out. So I'll work out with binaural beats because it's for focus and energy. There's some for sleep. There's some for dream state. So it depends on what you're looking for, but they do have it for different reasons.
Oh, I love that. And then tell us a little bit about your cacao ceremony. I don't know what those are and what happens.
Sure. So cacao is cocoa. So it's the chocolate plant. And I source mine from the indigenous people who make the cacao. It's ceremonial grade cacao. And it comes in like a bar or chocolate discs, and you add hot water. And then if you want to add any, like I'll add cinnamon and cardamom and a little bit of turmeric, some salt, some cayenne, and then sometimes I'll add honey with some boiling water and blend it, and it becomes my cocoa drink, but it's not sweet. So it's very bitter, but it's super, I mean, there's so many health benefits to cacao. So when I hold ceremony, I pass around cacao drinking chocolate and explain it, and we set an intention to it, and we talk into the chocolate, and then I take them into a sound healing. So in the background is cacao ceremony playing while I play my sound healing instruments to put people into a meditative state. It's beautiful. It's like an hour ceremony. The cacao itself, because it comes from 20 degrees north or south of the equator, they have a very ceremonial way of turning it into the discs or the bar. It's prayed over, and depending on where it's coming from, has different, you know, infusions into it, but it's really good for focusing. It's got really, really healthy fats. It's got almost every vitamin in there. It's good for your metabolism. It has all these beautiful properties infused naturally into them. So I just drink that oftentimes by myself too, but I love the music for the cacao ceremony.
Yes, it makes it so much better. But all of it, I love. I love all the spices that you put in there, cardamom and cinnamon, yum, and cayenne.
It is.
So it is delicious. Yeah, I need to try to do that sometime. I don't know. I wouldn't even know where to begin. Maybe that's a whole sidebar convo where you can hook me up with some connections.
You got it.
So where can everybody find you to work with you?
Sure. So my website is consciousevolution.coach. It's that coach at the end. I'm on Facebook and TikTok as Conscious Evolution Coach. And I'm not on Instagram too much, but as Tracy Hill Energy Healer. My email is changeyourlife@consciousevolution.coach. I do emotional releasing on its own. I have a frequency scanner. And again, everything I do can be done remotely, but I have a frequency scanner that I can capture your voice for 10 seconds, and it will let you know what emotions are creating what physical problems in your body and how to balance them.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. I want to do that.
Absolutely. Not a problem.
That's like a fast track to healing, like a healing roadmap.
It sure is, because the scanner will also detect physical issues in your body. And actually, I had blood work done because we get it done free through the fire department, and it was, the scanner was spot on. I was like, oh, look at that. It did show up. So it will tell you all of your imbalances, but also help you rebalance anything that's out of balance by sending you the frequencies that you need. So again, all can be done remotely. So frequencies are everywhere. They're not locked in by time or space. Frequencies are connected to everything. And so you can alter somebody's frequency. It's kind of like praying for somebody, right? You're sending out an intention, a frequency. And so when we have the technology, it's like, oh, it just enhances it even more. I can send you a specific frequency for something and you can reap the benefits from it.
I love that. That's so cool. I want to do that every night before bed, send out, you know, some positive frequencies to someone different every day.
And that's a great practice to help with gratitude.
Yes, so good. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Tracy. So enlightening. And you had such beautiful advice, and your story is incredible and just very inspiring. I love it.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. I'm glad we had it.
Thanks for joining today's episode of See the Upside podcast. For more details about today's guest and show notes and links, visit our website at seetheupside.com. You can find us on Instagram at see.theupside and Facebook at seetheupside. If you love today's show, please spread the light by giving us a rating or sharing it with a friend. We appreciate you so much and love sharing the positivity with anyone who could be inspired by it. We're all on a beautiful journey, and it's so much more fun doing it together and sharing our stories with each other along the way. Can't wait till next time.